السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Amma Ba'd. It is a great pleasure and a privilege to be able to go through with you the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And this life, this seerah, is a story like no other story. Because with his birth, peace be upon him, there was a change in the relationship between the Creator and the created things. This was an event of the greatest magnitude. Because our beloved Prophet ﷺ was Imam al-Anbiya, he was the final messenger who would bring the message that would be revealed not only to humanity, but also to the jinn. And so with this message and the living embodiment of the message, there was a change in the relationship between human beings and the Creator, because prophets had not only come to separate tribes and nations, and by doing this they established the traditions within those nations, but a prophet had come to all of humanity. And so everybody in humanity, if the message reached them, was ultimately accountable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who had the message and who have the message are also accountable to Allah if they do not spread this word to the others. And so in looking at this message and what is important about this last prophet, peace be upon him, is that if he had come only to the Arabs, then the Arabs knew basically what their personality was. The Arabs had an idea based upon your tribe or based upon which part of Arabia you came from. They had an idea how you acted your life out, because the desert shapes your personality. And if you live along the coastline, or if you live in the interior, if you live in a certain area, then more than likely you would act in a particular way. And so if it was that he was only to come to the Arabs, then his personality would not have been that important, because people knew basically what character was like in the Arabian Peninsula. But he came to all of humanity and the jinn. So therefore, his character, his adab, the etiquette that he had, and the way he moved through his life is of great significance to people who live not only in deserts, but those who live on mountains, or those who live in jungles, those who live on plains, savannas, in large cities, Arabs, non-Arabs, white, black, Chinese. Every nationality has a stake in this personality. And so he was not left for the environment alone. We have to realize that in every phase of the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is ibrah. There is a lesson for us to learn in. And we need to consider this, especially in the early years, in seeing how this risala, the message, was forming. Because one of the greatest challenges that we have today is dealing with the younger generation. This is one of the greatest responsibilities that the Muslim Ummah has today, because a recent census taken in Cairo, Egypt, showed us that the majority of Muslims are teenagers and children, and that 43% of the Muslim world are 5 years old and under. So because of this, the tarbiyah, the early education and developmental training of the youth, is crucial, because those early years form the mental attitudes. It develops the person's self-esteem. And what is happening today is that the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are manifesting themselves through some of the so-called Western powers, are spending billions of dollars, not just on weapons, but on entertainment. Why are they spending so much time on entertainment? Why are they spending so much time on the Olympics to publicize the World Cup, to get people involved in cricket and rugby and football and hockey? Whether you live in the ice, you live, you know, in the heat, wherever you live, there's a sport for you to keep you busy with sports all of your life. And so you wouldn't care, or you don't have time to think about Philistine. And now they've surrounded, they've dug a trench around Jericho. Things going on like that are not important to somebody who cares about the rugby game, who won the game, and who is the best batsman in cricket, and who is the best runner in the Olympics. And so, although sports plays a great, an important role in the life of a young person, it has been taken out of context and used as an opium in order to drug people so that they would not be aware of what is happening around them. And so in the early life of the Prophet ﷺ, there is a great lesson for us to learn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that he would be yatim, that he would lose his father, and that in the early years of his life, even before he was born, he would lose his father. And because of this, his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, became his kafil, or his sponsor, his guardian. And he assumed the major masculine role in his life. His mother continued in her so vital role as the nourisher and as the love giver to the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him. But what is important for us to focus on at this early phase is how they dealt with this boy, and then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested through these simple actions a physique, a personality, a character that would be strong enough to assume this position and to carry this message. It was the custom of the Arabs, the rich and the noble Arabs in Mecca, that they would send their children out of the city to the desert area in order to develop a strong foundation. And this is a very important concept for us, especially since many Muslims today are living in large cities, and we have been forced into urban areas. And living in an urban area is not the same as living in Badia, or living outside in the desert area, or in the woods. And country people have a hardiness about them. There is a natural fitrah type of personality that is easily found within the country areas. And so it was the practice of the Arabs to send their children out into the open area so that they would be nursed in a free, open, clean environment where the air was clean, where the environment was natural, and it wasn't filled with buildings making smoke and foreigners from all different nationalities and intrigues and plots that are going on in the desert area. People are very straightforward because life is very simple and it is harsh. And that harshness adds strength to the human personality. And it is one of the trials and tribulations to the Arab people that oil wealth has been given to them. Because the hardy nature of the Bedouins in Arabia and in many parts of the Muslim world has been spoiled by the oil wealth. And you will hear stories of people who are living in countries where they are so strong they are prepared to drink only camel's milk and eat dates. And then when the oil money came and the US dollars started pouring in, now they need air conditioners in every place they go in. They need air conditioner in their cars. They need air conditioner in their bathroom. Now they even have air conditioners in their tents, outside in the wilderness. They'll put a conditioner in there. And so they've become spoiled by the luxury of this world. And this is one of the fitness that would strike this ummah that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about during his risala. Another important aspect of living outside in the desert was classical Arabic language. And that is that the people who are living in the Badia are not confused. Their language is very clear. And when you are learning Arabic, you'll see a person says, "What is your name?" He says, "Masmuka." But if you speak to an Arab, he'll say, "Shinnu ismuk, is ismuk, ismuk a," and you'll hear all types of variations of the language because of the influence of other languages, and also because of not being in contact with classical Arabic being spoken as the normal dialect. And so within the country areas, the desert areas, classical Arabic was the natural language. Also, adab, the etiquettes and the character of the Bedou was one of the strongest points within Arab culture. And they were so generous and kind, they would even take time out while they were fighting each other, and they would serve food and drink to their enemies because he's a guest. And so their karam, their generosity and their nobility would override their negative aspects. And so it was the country people who maintained more of that type of personality. And so we find the Prophet ﷺ in his first few days in the world, he was suckled by Thuwayba. And Thuwayba radiallahu anha was the servant of his uncle Abu Lahab. Even though he was eventually to be a wicked man, he was his uncle. So it was Thuwayba who suckled him, who fed him by her breast for the first few days of his life. And it is said that she eventually entered Islam, and she died 7 years after the Hijrah. And the Prophet ﷺ would always show affection to Thuwayba radiallahu anha. She also fed Hamza radiallahu anhu, who was his uncle. And so they were ikhwan by rida'ah. By the feeding of the milk, they had the same mother. And that made their relationship even closer. Around the fourth day of his life, a number of women from Banu Hawazin came into Mecca. And Banu Hawazin was a tribe that was known for a high level of Arabic language. And they were also known for their hardy characteristics and for having preserved much of the etiquettes and the adab of the Arabs. And so it was a year of a drought and famine for them. And they came into the city looking for children, to be able to take care of children. And one of these women, Halima bint Abi Dhu'ayb, a Sa'diya of Banu Sa'd, which is part of Hawazin, she came in with her husband Hadith. And it is reported by Ibn Ishaq, rahimahullah, that Halima radiallahu anha and her family were suffering in the drought. And it reached the point where she appeared to be very thin, and their animals appeared to be emaciated and thin. And so when the Meccans saw a woman looking like this, they turned away from her, and she was not able to get a child. The only child that was really left was this orphan boy. This orphan boy named Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not looked upon as a child that was desirable, because the people who came in wanted to make a strong link through the father. And if the father was living, then he would be able to give them a strong link in terms of his wealth and also his tribal connections. But this child was an orphan, and so the child was left alone. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was turning away. And Ibn Ishaq reports that she said to her husband, "By Allah, I do not like the idea of returning with my friends without a suckling child. I will go and take that orphan." And he replied, "Do as you please. Perhaps Allah will bless us on this child's account." So she reports and she says, "So I went and took him for the sole reason that I could not find anyone else. I took him back to my baggage, and as soon as I put him to my bosom, my breasts overflowed with milk, which he drank until he was satisfied, and also did his foster brother. Then the both of them slept, Whereas before this, we could not sleep with the child because their child was screaming so much.